Because I couldn't get back, you were completely alone, trying to cope on your own. I'm sorry, Blythe. More than she would ever know. He hurt her, ached for her. He willed her to hear her cousin, to feel his sincerity, to stay with him in spite of not being there for her when she needed him the most. Blythe held herself very still, as if movement might shatter her. If she broke, Victor was there to pick up the pieces, but he willed her to be strong, at least until their company left, and he could hold her in his arms and comfort her. Was she at fault? Blythe looked up at him, and he caught the sheen of tears she hastily blinked away. She shook her head. I couldn't forgive any of them. It was so terrible, and I just held on to my anger. You have every right to be upset and angry with me for not being here when you needed me, but it sounds like she tried to see you, to be there. She nodded her assent. You have to tell her, baby, he encouraged gently. She's hurting too. Blythe's fingers curled into his tightly, and then she lifted her gaze to her cousin's, and he could breathe again. She wasn't shutting him out. She was once again showing him why he had such faith in her. I know you tried, El. It was so difficult, and I almost didn't make it through. I think about my daughter every single day and wonder what she'd be like. I know it was your mother's decision, and she regrets it. She told me. By her tone, Victor knew she hadn't forgiven the woman, and maybe she never would. But El was guilty only by association, not by deed. I'll do better. I promise. El nodded, tears standing in her eyes. Why? Jackson asked, drawing attention away from his wife. Why have you been gone all this time, Victor? He was there to tell the cop the truth. DeVoe needed to know the events leading up to this moment, this crucial meeting and what it was all about. Absinthe, one of my brothers, was shot multiple times on an assignment in South America. He'd gone after one of the key players in a drug cartel there. I had to get to him to save his life. I was closest, and he didn't have much time. That was right after Sharon's husband was killed. When you're shot and left for dead in our business, Sorbakov would send his cleaners after you. Absinthe had to be watched over in order to keep him alive. And then I had to help him disappear. No message for her? Jackson asked. You couldn't get word to her? At the hint of disdain in his voice, Victor almost told him to go to hell, but something compelled him to tell the truth. My brothers and I set up a message center for emergencies. I left a letter for Blythe, giving her the codes. She could reach me through that route. No one was supposed to have the codes but the seven of us, but I wanted her to know how to reach me if she needed me. I left her hundreds of messages, and even more for my brothers to watch over her. Not one person got back to me.
He smoothed caresses gently up and down Blythe's arm, and then, when he could still feel her tension, he curled his arm partway around her so he could massage her neck.
That's crazy,
Jackson said, frowning. What happened?
We don't know, Victor admitted. My brothers and Blythe never received any messages, and the ones my brothers said they left for me never got to me. Each time I checked the center for messages, there were none.
I didn't get the letter, Blythe said. I suspect my mother destroyed it. She was taken to my room after Ray died. I didn't even know there was a letter until Victor told me there had been one.
She was careful not to mention Victor was the one who pulled the trigger. Jackson wasn't stupid. He had to know that Victor, being a Prokhensky, had been a hitman for Sorbakov. But she wasn't going to go there, and neither, it seemed, was Jackson.
How did the code work? Jackson asked. We all had the key and knew how to read a message. Once it was read, it was erased, so there was no way Sorbakov could track us. We gave one another locations and destinations, said if we were wounded, that sort of thing. In my case, I needed to know Blythe was all right. I was too far away, and they watched me like a hawk in the beginning. After I got Absinthe out of trouble, Sorbakov told me to go after another high-profile target.
When you had the chance, why didn't you disappear? You have the ability, Jackson asked.
Victor shook his head.
Ilya was out in the open. Sorbakov would have had him killed.
I couldn't take that chance. I went undercover with the Swords Motorcycle Club, the chapter in Louisiana.
He didn't look at Al or Jackson when he gave them that, but he heard Jackson's swift intake of breath as Jackson recognized the name of his father's club. Instead, he leaned closer to Blythe, trying to give her strength.
Is it possible Aunt Sharon didn't destroy the letter? That she gave it to someone, and they had the ability to destroy your messages?
Al asked.
She would do that, wouldn't she, Blythe? Just to be spiteful. She hated that you were happy. Even over little things, she would be hateful to you.
There was a long silence. Victor kept his gaze on Blythe's face. She was thinking it over, but eventually she shook her head.
The key to the code was in that letter, along with specific instructions on erasing messages from me.
He kept his voice very gentle. His fingers kept working the nape of her neck, trying to ease the tension pouring off of her. She was too still, worried.
She didn't have friends, only her sisters. She drank too much and was too ugly when she drank to keep friends, especially after Ray. They met in a bar, and once she was with him, she drank even more. They drank together.
He didn't drink,
Victor corrected.
It was an illusion.
Blythe's teeth tugged at her lower lip, and he couldn't help smoothing his thumb over the alluring curve.
What is it?
She just didn't have friends. He only wanted his friends around.
She trailed off, her eyes going wide.
His friends were all pedophiles,
he reminded her, as gently as possible, when his gut tightened into knots and alarms went off in his head. He wanted to swear, loudly, crudely. Victor had put everyone in jeopardy by giving her the code, by sending so many messages. What had he said about the others? His brothers? Had he mentioned any of the members of his club in any of the messages? His thinking was always clear. It had to be. He kept panic at bay as a child by reminding himself lives were always at stake, and his brain was his greatest weapon. He had to outthink everyone. He hadn't been thinking when he was sending all those messages to Blythe. He'd been panicked, afraid of losing her, afraid of what was happening to her when he wasn't there. He'd begged his brothers to look after her. More than once, he'd tried to find legitimate reasons for Habit to allow him to take off for a few days so he could get to her, but the Swords were as paranoid as their president. The roaring in his ears settled as he breathed away the rage at himself and his many, many mistakes. He'd made them before, and children were killed. He had more sins on his soul than any person alive, and that was due to panic, fear, and anger. He pushed all emotion down and focused on the woman he loved. Any conversation about her mother distressed Blythe. Sharon had kept her isolated from family and friends. They'd moved across the country deliberately, so Sharon's jealousy and hatred of those she perceived as having more couldn't be seen. Blythe had dealt with her alone. She had dealt with far too much alone. At least he'd eventually had his brothers and sisters.
Baby, we've got this together. Take a breath.
My mother nearly destroyed us, and I allowed it. I was so hurt after you disappeared, I couldn't think straight. She had to have given that letter to one of Ray's friends.
He studied her face. She had a good idea just which friend that was, and she didn't like the thought. He wasn't going to push her. She'd had enough. They had brought Elle and Jackson there for a reason.
We'll deal with that when we're alone, honey,
he assured her.
Let's see if DeVoe is going to cooperate or if he's going to blow my cover.
He won't,
she said staunchly.
I asked Blythe to call you,
he announced, turning back to Jackson.
I took an undercover assignment in order to go after the biggest human trafficking ring in the world. It was a long-term assignment, and I had to go deep to disappear. It was dangerous, and that meant losing all ties to family.
His hand tightened around Blythe's. Telling this again meant risking losing her. He'd been out of her life when she'd needed him the most, when she had no family or friends to support her. She'd met the five women she bought the now thriving farm with after the death of their daughter. DeVoe was a patient man, and he simply waited. Victor tightened his hold on Blythe as if that could keep her from pulling away from him.
Evan Shackler Grotzos is the most paranoid man I've ever come across, and he doesn't trust anyone.
Elle gasped and looked up at Jackson. Her husband's expression didn't change, but he curved his arm around her and pulled her right into him, almost on his lap. He kept his gaze steady on Victor's face, watching his eyes. Victor didn't look away. He wanted DeVoe to know just how serious the threat was.
He rode with the swords, specifically a chapter in Louisiana.
Immediately, comprehension was in the deputy's eyes. He was from Louisiana. His father had been an enforcer with the swords. When Jackson's mother had gotten so ill with cancer, he'd picked up another woman to ride with him, and she had a son named Evan. Yeah, he was getting it, and fast. They were all connected.
I joined the chapter in the hopes that Evan would visit and I could take him out, but he'd grown so paranoid that more than once he killed his own bodyguards and replaced them, certain they were selling him out. Then you got married, DeVoe. You got married to the woman his brother wanted and wouldn't let him have. He already hated you, but then you committed the ultimate sin. He has no intention of allowing you to be happy, either one of you.
He included Elle, but he kept his gaze on DeVoe. Yeah, the man was smart. He was getting it.
This is our one shot at getting this bastard. He's got an operation that won't quit, and he's running it in nearly every country. The swords choose a few young boys and girls, lure them or kidnap them, beat and rape them until they submit, and then sell them until they get too old or worn out to be of any use. Then they kill them. A select few are put on ships to be sold for top dollar to men and women with particular proclivities. They like to hurt and then kill their victims. Those children are taken to his ships, and the bodies are buried at sea.
Elle drew her knees all the way up and pressed her face against them, making herself very small.
Keep talking,
Jackson demanded when Victor hesitated. Victor hated what he was doing to Blythe's cousin. Her face was very pale. She didn't look away, but she did look fragile. He wished Blythe had listened to him and just asked the deputy to come.
It's all right,
Elle said, her voice surprisingly strong.
Thanks for caring, but I have to hear this. He's coming after us, isn't he?
Victor nodded slowly. There was no point in trying to make it easy. Evan Shackler Grotzos wasn't going to make it easy for any of them.
Yes, I'm afraid he is. The good news is, we'll get a shot at taking him out because he wants to kill Jackson himself. He made that very clear. I was sent down here to scout for a place that the swords could slip into without anyone noticing a large number of them. They won't be wearing colors, and they aren't supposed to draw attention to themselves.
Then what the hell was that fiasco in Inez's store?
Jackson demanded. Inez definitely meant something to him. He hadn't liked that anyone had threatened her.
They were there to watch me. I suspected Evan might send in more than one team. He's that paranoid. They were from another chapter, so it was plausible that I didn't know who they were.
Your cover still intact?
Jackson asked. Victor nodded.
I called my chapter president and reported the incident, and then acted outraged that they were swords and they'd almost blown everything. For all I know, he sent watchers to watch them. My men are looking, but we haven't found any others, and we're good at what we do.
I can imagine,
Jackson said dryly. Victor didn't bother to take the bait.
I've looked at the campgrounds. There are a lot of them that would do, but too many families camp in them. There's no way to guarantee safety. I need a place we can plan an ambush for you, and then turn the tables on them without civilians getting hurt.
You're planning on using me as bait.
Victor nodded.
Evan plans to kill you. I say, give him his shot. He also wants your woman. She needs to be locked down tight where he doesn't have a possible chance at her.
Elle shook her head.
He doesn't get to scare me.
Victor frowned at her.
He scares me, and he damn well should you as well. He's not sane. He likes hurting people, especially women. He hates your husband with a passion and wants him to suffer. Hurting you would accomplish that.
Where would be a good place for Victor to tell the swords to come?
Blythe asked Elle before Victor could say anything else. He glanced down at her, but she was studiously looking at her cousin and avoiding his gaze. She was up to something, and he had a feeling he wasn't going to like it. His feelings were always right.
I have this friend, Leslie Huber. She walks her mastiffs nearly every day out in an area just off of Highway 20 called Egg-Taking Station. It isn't very well marked, but it's part of the Jackson State Demo Forest. The Noyo River runs back there. There are campgrounds along the river, a common area, and the roads are all logging roads. It isn't paved, but Leslie said the roads are hard, well packed down. All the logging roads are intact, and you can drive all the way on the back roads to Sea Haven from there.
I know Leslie, Blythe said. She works as a massage therapist. She's told me about that place. Hardly anyone goes there.
That's not a good place for a woman alone, even if she has her dogs with her, Jackson erupted, glaring at his wife. It isn't safe. The people camping there are usually looking to disappear.
The point, Elle said, is that it's a perfect place for the swords to camp. They'll like the fact that the roads give them places to run without being seen. There are ways in and out on the logging roads that would allow them to travel without being seen. Few families would ever camp there.
It's not a bad idea, Jackson agreed reluctantly. There are narrow wooden bridges a car couldn't get across, but a bike could. Plenty of escape routes for them. Good place to ambush me. It's on my route, so I'd be the one to answer any calls out there. I think Elle and Blythe are correct, although Elle, you'll have to warn your friend not to go out there without giving anything away.
Stavros was afraid of Evan,
Elle said in a low tone. She looked at Jackson.
I have tremendous power, but I think Evan has something more, something very scary. Without knowing what that is, it would be foolish to put yourself in jeopardy.
Blythe cleared her throat, but didn't look at Victor. She waited until she had Elle's full attention.
I can draw power and bind it from any source to any individual. I can boost it as well.
There was silence while Elle all but gawked at her cousin, her mouth open.
You can do what?
She whispered.
If Evan, or anyone else for that matter, uses power, any kind of psychic power for any purpose, I can steal it from them. Take it. I can direct the energy to another individual, such as you or Jackson or Victor. I do it all the time with my sisters here. The more I've worked with it, the easier it's gotten, and the stronger I've gotten.
Blythe, that's incredible. I can't do that. None of my sisters can either.
Elle sounded awed. Victor was rather in awe as well, but he knew what was coming, and it wasn't good. He tried to stop it by standing up and pacing across the room. He had to move, rid himself of the pounding heart that told him Blythe was going to insist on putting herself in immediate danger. He was too slow.
You can stop him, Elle said. Blythe, you can stop him. I can definitely keep him from using whatever talent he has. He's counting on the fact that no one knows he has it. The moment he tries to use it, I can stop him.
How close do you have to be?
Jackson asked. Once again, his gaze was on Victor, even as he asked the question. He knew Victor wasn't happy when both women seemed totally oblivious.
Close enough to feel the energy start to gather, Blythe said. But that shouldn't be a problem. I can take one of the campsites.
No,
Victor used his hardest, scariest voice, the one that stopped even Reaper.
How many swords do you think Evan is going to bring in?
Blythe asked in a very quiet voice. He knew that voice, and it meant it didn't matter what he said, she was going to do what she thought was right. He knew that side of her from their earlier relationship. Blythe was as sweet a woman as she could be, giving in to him most of the time, because if it mattered to him and didn't to her, she saw no reason to argue. But when she made up her mind about something, there was no stopping her. At least he hadn't found a way yet, and he'd tried everything.
Victor?
She insisted on an answer.
At least 30, maybe more. He likes a show of force. It would be like him to kill Jackson and then send his men in to tear up Sea Haven. He'd want to burn down the Drake House, and he definitely wants his hands on Hell.
He had made up his mind to tell her the truth, so he couldn't lie to her. But he knew he was digging his own grave with that information.
Then you need your own army to stop them, Blythe said.
We'll talk about it later, he said.
She didn't understand the level of violence the swords were capable of, the cruelty and vile behavior toward women. They enjoyed what they did, breaking the young girls and boys. Evan recruited men like himself. That thought led back to Ray, and the fact that he had started a pedophile internet site that attracted men and women like him. Victor needed somewhere to breathe clean air. That somewhere was wherever Blythe was. He'd lived too long wading in slime, so long he wasn't certain he could ever find clean again until he saw her. Until he kissed her, and she took him away from it all. He wasn't about to chance those men getting their hands on her. She'd been hurt enough, thanks to his mistakes.
Victor, the walls are turning red. Your anger is spilling out, and it's gathering there. We'll talk about it later.
He didn't respond, but he did take a breath. He didn't dare allow rage loose in her home. Not around her. Not ever.
Look at me.
He couldn't. He didn't deserve her. He couldn't change what he was, a fucking killing machine. But he wanted to be something different. He wanted all of them to be something different. But if he had to give her up in order to protect her, then he would. He wouldn't survive it, but then there wouldn't be much point in surviving without her.
Victor, look at me.
She was in his mind, her clean, fresh spirit pushing through all the ugly muck threatening to pull him under. He smelled her, the faint peaches and cream scent she favored. He had to turn his head and look at her, because he couldn't deny Blythe anything, other than allowing her to put herself at risk. She had to see the pain in his eyes, the fear of losing her. She had to feel it, because he could, and he rarely allowed himself to feel.
I love you, Victor,
she said gently, meaning it. He could see she meant it, but the terrible lump in his throat, making it impossible to draw breath, stayed until his lungs were raw, burning for air.
I don't care if anyone else ever knows or sees what a good man you are. I know. I see, and I'm proud to be your wife. Stop thinking you're going to lose me. I let my mother take you away from me once, but it won't happen again.
Baby, I can't give you this. I told you I'd give you anything, but I can't give you this.
It isn't your decision. It's mine. We're partners, and we're good together, Victor. What I can do can tip the scales in our favor. That keeps the lives of your brothers and sisters safe, your birth brothers as well, because they're going to help you. Elle and Jackson, because they have to do this too. I'm a huge asset, and you know it.
He kept shaking his head. She made sense. It all made sense, but he kept shaking his head. He couldn't stop the visceral reaction to the thought of her being in danger from Evan or the swords. He hated that she was right. He hated it more that she wouldn't argue with him, and he knew she wouldn't. Blythe went her own way when she believed she was right. She not only believed it, but she knew it this time.
If Elle and Blythe are going to be there, we'll have to make certain we have plans in place to keep them safe, Jackson said.
Victor recognized that the deputy was trying to help him out, help him understand he couldn't order his woman to do as she was told. There were some rules to the biker world he could embrace right about now, and getting his woman under control was one of them.
How many men do you have with you? Jackson asked.
7 riding with me now, and Elena. She's every bit as good in a fight as my men.
I have 8 more coming, and Lana. Like Elena, she's lethal. The others will be riding in with Habit, the chapter president from Louisiana.
18 of you? Jackson said thoughtfully. You certain you can count on them?
Absolutely.
I've got your birth brothers and their wives, Jackson said.
Don't know about Jonas. I've asked him to do some things that just aren't in his comfort zone. I don't know if he's going to be up for this one.
Probably. Victor shook his head.
Unless you know, don't risk it. If he talks and decides to try to take him alive, no one is going to be safe.
Jackson had to know that, and it was his wife at risk.
And I don't know about the women. When you think of outlaw clubs, you're not looking at anything like these men. They're the worst.
We're going to be dealing with psychic energy, El said. He's powerful. Even with Blythe there to tip the scales for us, we don't know what we'll need to counteract him. Some of my sisters are expecting. I can't risk them right now, so we'll need Blythe's sisters to help us. They're used to working with her.
It was getting out of hand. Evan is bringing a fucking army, Jackson. He wants to tear the town apart. You think he's going to act nice around these women?
Honey, your protective gene is off the charts, and it's showing. You know you can't go in there naked without all of us. Your brothers have talent. You do. You know exactly what we'll be facing. Do you think I love you less than you love me? I want you safe. It's within my power to help keep you that way. If it were beyond my abilities, I wouldn't put you in a position of having to look after me. I wouldn't, Victor. I love you, and I would never do that to you.
He both hated and loved that his woman was intelligent. The hating it was stronger right then than the loving it. He was going to tell the others to make certain their women were on the dumber side and, yes, anything you say is law, women. They talked for several hours. Jackson mapped out the various logging roads for him out at Egg-Taking Station. He and the others would take their bikes there and ride, seeing how fast street motorcycles could travel through. Jackson would do the same with trucks, just to be prepared. Blythe wanted to go with him, but he was concerned it was too dangerous. Still, she had to see the area. All the women would have to. Elle thought it would be a good idea to arrange an outing with all of them. He managed not to roll his eyes, but he did exchange an exasperated look with Jackson, who just shrugged. Clearly, he had been around them all a lot longer. Still, if Blythe was going, he and his men wouldn't be far behind. They would be keeping an eye on her. She'd have to get used to having protection from the club, whether she liked it or not.
Chapter 16
Leslie told me about this place, Elle said as the four-wheel drive truck bounced a few times on the pitted road. But I've never come out here. When we were kids, this was one of the places Dad didn't want us going. He didn't forbid us much, so, although it was tempting, I didn't rebel to that extent. Jolie might have. She was a Hellion growing up. Then I forgot all about it.
You didn't mention to Jolie what was going on, Blythe asked, surprised.
The Drakes tended to do everything together. The sisters were best friends. She understood that concept now, because she'd found that with her sisters of the heart. She felt better when they were with her. Right now, only Ricky, Lexi, and Lissa had accompanied Elle and her to the egg-taking station to explore. They needed to know the roads every bit as much as the men did. They'd brought food with them and Gavriel's dogs. They were big black Russian terriers and very protective, particularly of Lexi. Where Lexi went, Gavriel went. Blythe hadn't seen Gavriel, but he'd insisted Lexi take the dogs, and he'd made it clear he'd be close just in case anyone tried to bother them. That made her want to laugh. It wasn't as if the women weren't forces to be reckoned with, especially when they were together. She hadn't spotted Victor or any of his brothers, but she knew they were also following, or already ahead of them, somewhere on the grounds. She thought it was a bit ironic that they were exploring a place that normally only a few people went to, but this day it would be populated with all sorts of individuals.
There's the entrance, Ricky pointed out. Road 350, Camp 1, Jackson Demonstration State Forest. The sign is so small it's no wonder people don't know it's back here.
They could easily have missed the sign. They made the narrow turn off of Highway 20 and stayed to the right on the dirt road. Hundreds of acres had been logged since the early 1800s, and there was a network of old logging roads riddling the park. Blythe was silent as they continued down the dirt road. It was hard, scraped, kept in good condition, but she didn't like the idea of Victor or any of the others riding Harleys fast on that bare ground. There was spotty, if any, cell service. No way to keep in contact that way.
There's the river, Ricky said, her voice eager. She was often hesitant and refused to look at people until she was around water, and then she changed entirely. She was a strong water element, and around rivers, lakes, and especially the ocean, she blossomed.
It's beautiful back in here, Elle said. I know Jolie knows about this place, and she never told any of us, that rat.
Blythe held her breath for a moment, her fingers tightening around the camera she carried.
You didn't tell your sisters what was going on, did you?
It was Victor's life on the line, Victor's and his brother's and Elena's. The more people who knew, the more chances there were to have his cover blown. And Jonas Harrington was a huge question mark. He was the sheriff, and he definitely went by the book. She was certain of it. He and Ilya were best friends. Jonas was married to Hannah Drake, and Ilya to Jolie. She realized just what a risk Victor took warning Jackson and bringing him in on his mission. She was suddenly so anxious she was afraid she might throw up. He could have just allowed the swords to call for help. Jackson would have shown up, drawing Evan out into the open. Victor could have killed him, and then he and his brothers and sisters would have fought their way out. Probably successfully. By telling Jackson the truth, he'd risked his life. If the swords found out he was undercover and planning to kill their international president, the entire club would be after him.
Of course I didn't, Elle said. Although Sarah was suspicious, she came over right before I was leaving, and you know Sarah, she just knows things. She questioned me, and I said I was going on a picnic with some friends.
Sarah. Blythe's heart really began to pound. She bit at her thumb, trying to think what to do. She should have warned Victor not to say a word. The Drakes were special, gifted. They each had talent. It wasn't the same as her sisters there on the farm. They were elements, bound to earth, water, fire, and air. But the Drakes just could do things, know things. If Victor hadn't warned Jackson, she would have been upset with him. But now that he had, and she knew the very real risk he took, she was even more distressed. She realized he would have gone to Jackson no matter what. That was who he was. He would have protected the deputy and Elle. He had assumed that role when he was 10 years old, and he continued it. He would always continue it. Others might not know or ever realize, but she did, and she would stand with him.
Breathe, Blythe, Lyssa reminded softly. We're here to help. We're strong when we're together. You know that. Gavriel and the others are going to help him too, Lexi reminded.
Her voice was gentle and serious. So Lexi. Blythe found herself smiling in spite of her worries, and her stomach settled at the sound of Lexi's voice. Her chosen sisters. They were there for her. No matter what was going on in their lives, they were there for her.
He's a good man,
she murmured aloud, needing them to know.
If you love him, then we know he's a good man, Lyssa said. We'll fight for him, too. Just know all the Prakinsky brothers are blockheads. You're going to have to deal with that.
Hey,
Elle said, her fingers tight on the wheel as they bumped along the road.
Jackson's a blockhead, too.
They all burst out laughing. Blythe couldn't help laughing with them.
Of course he is. No Drake would marry anything but a blockhead.
They drove up and down the roads that were open, and many that had gates across them. El was very adept at unlocking gates without touching them. The campsites on either side of the river were perfect. Victor had already inspected them and had made his report to Habit, so any day the swords would be arriving in small groups. The plan was they'd set up their campsites and familiarize themselves with the old logging roads while they planned out the ambush.
"It really is beautiful here," Blythe said. "It's funny that we've lived here this long and didn't realize it was here."
"I knew it was," El said. "But Dad made it seem like every outlaw since the Wild West camped out here. Some of the kids from school came out here during ditch day, but not often. Leslie's husband's family owned property out here, and he's very familiar with all of this. I talked to her last night and told her I was asking tons of questions because Kate needed it for research for a book she was writing."
Blythe twisted her fingers together and held herself very tight. Kate Drake was another of Elle's sisters, a best-selling author married to a former Army Ranger. Talking to Leslie and using Kate's name just added one more complication. She knew her cousins. The least little hint, and they ferreted out exactly what was going on.
"We'll need a back road in," Lissa said. "We have to be above them with no one behind us, so we have a clear escape route." "They could hear or possibly see any vehicle coming in on these old logging roads. At night, sound would carry, and during the day, the dust rising would give the location away," Lexi said. "I could minimize the dust, but sound..."
"I could take away the sound, but if they have scouts," Elle ventured, "we would still be seen."
"We could hike in from the other side," Ricky said. "That's what we did when we..." She broke off abruptly, glancing at Elle from under her lashes, her fingers twisting and whirling.
"That's not a bad idea. We just need to find the right road,"
Blythe agreed, laying her hand gently over Ricky's.
"Let's go back to the common area," Elle suggested. "We can eat and decide the best way to do this. Once we have a plan, the men won't be so crazy and expect us to stay home."
"Like that will happen," Lissa said. "Not that I'm going to be that much help out here. Fire can get loose fast, and there's too much danger of a forest fire if I try to manipulate it too much. On the other hand, if they have campfires going already, I can wreak a little havoc and maybe upset any plans they have."
"You have to remember that Evan has a major talent, or talents," Elle reminded. "The moment any of you use power, he'll be able to zero in on you fast."
Blythe bit her lower lip hard. She was dragging her sisters into this mess in order to protect Victor. There was a note of fear in Elle's voice, and Elle Drake had never been afraid of anyone. Fingers of dread sent chills down her spine. Still, she held on to the fact that she had a gift, a talent. Her mother hadn't believed her, and she'd only used it for the farm, when it was needed to boost Ricky and Lexi and Judith. She knew her sisters believed it was mostly Judith, but she was the one binding them together and amping up the power Judith created. She had learned to stay in the background, and it never bothered her that others didn't realize she had a gift. She really could only use it around others gifted. She just took the energy they gathered and boosted or directed it. Blythe glanced at Elle's set face. Elle really was afraid of Evan, and that told her to be very careful around the man.
"It's all right, Elle. I can take his power and redirect it to one or all of you. We'll come up with a plan. I'm starving."
She wasn't, but she didn't like seeing her cousin afraid. Elle, when they were young, was never afraid. To see her almost fragile was disconcerting. Elle maneuvered the big truck down the logging road, following along the river back toward the common area. There were a few picnic tables there, and they could eat, drink, and toss around ideas.
"Oh, no,"
Elle said as she rounded the last curve to get to the main road.
"We have company."
Blythe sat up straighter. She recognized the four-wheel drive RAV4 parked just outside the common area. Ariana and Judith sat on the picnic table, Ariana swinging her foot back and forth and leaning back to look up at the sky. Judith laughed at something she said. At the sound of the truck, they both sat up straighter and watched Elle park. Lexi jumped out and let the two big dogs out. Both ran to Ariana and Judith to say hello.
"Hey, you two,"
she greeted.
"You decide to have a picnic?"
"Yep," Judith said. "Right here at the good old egg-taking station no one told us about. I see you came prepared for a picnic, too. Great minds evidently think alike.
Hi, Elle. Nice to have you back." "You didn't invite the two pregnant ladies,"
Ariana added, petting Kiss, the female Black Russian Terrier.
"So we talked it over and decided something was up."
"Not to mention," Judith added, scooting over so Ricky could put their picnic basket next to Judith's.
"Our men are acting like idiots. You know, those late-night consultations with one another. Even Ilya's been hanging around. We aren't stupid, you know, just pregnant."
Blythe heard the hurt in her voice. This was so getting out of hand.
"No one thinks you're stupid, Judith," she said gently. "Just pregnant. No one wanted to risk you." "It's Victor, isn't it?"
Ariana guessed shrewdly.
"He's in some kind of trouble, and all of you are trying to help him out."
Blythe nodded, avoiding looking at Elle. Very few people knew the true details of her cousin's kidnapping.
"It's dangerous, and I didn't want either one of you hurt. Any of you," she added, sweeping her hand to include the other women. "But we can't take chances with babies," she ducked her head, "especially unborn babies."
Ariana's eyes filled with tears, and she hopped off the picnic table to rush to Blythe. She threw her arms around her and hugged her hard.
"Of course we won't take any chances. We'd just like to know what's going on and see if there's a way we could help."
Blythe started to pull back, stiffening, and Ariana hugged her harder.
"From a distance," she added, "away from any danger." "We just thought maybe your man was a male chauvinist or something," Judith explained with a small smile, obviously hoping to lighten the mood.
"Well, he's something,"
Blythe admitted, trying for humor when she wanted to cry.
"This could be a disaster." "We don't talk about family business to anyone," Judith added, sobering again. "We're family. If Victor is your choice, he's family. He's my husband's brother. He fights like a machine, so I'm putting my money on him."
Blythe shook her head as Ariana slipped her arm through hers.
"It's too dangerous. I know you'd want to help, if only to make certain the boys don't get into trouble. But both of you are..."
She broke off, shook her head again, and forced command into her voice.
"It's too dangerous." "Let's sit down and see what we have in the way of food,"
Elle said.
"We can all think better with clear heads."
Blythe's head was clear, totally clear. Any pregnant woman was not participating in the coming war with the Swords Club and Evan Shackler Grotzos. The panic was so strong, she had to turn away from the women she called sisters. They were there for her, but it wasn't right. She couldn't live with herself if anything happened to the unborn babies. Without thinking, she pressed her thumb into the center of her palm. She had done that so many times over the last few years when she was distressed that it had become a habit. She hadn't understood why it comforted her.
"Take a breath and tell me what's happening."
Victor's voice in her mind confirmed her belief that he was close.
"They're pregnant. They'll insist on helping."
She closed her eyes briefly.
"Great. Now's your opportunity to tell me you don't want me here, but I'm still here, and I don't have a right to stop them. Go ahead and say it."
"They're pregnant. I understand, Blythe."
She breathed a sigh of relief that he wasn't going to lecture her. She didn't think she could take it. Around her, they were spreading out a checkered tablecloth as if they picnicked there every day of their lives. Laughter and the murmur of conversation swirled around her, but she couldn't do anything but hear the roaring in her ears and see the black spots that told her she'd better try to outrun what was coming.
"Baby, breathe. Seriously, you're going to pass out."
"Will you ask your brothers to forbid them to help?"
I can do that. No problem. But do you believe they'll listen? You don't listen to your man. You're their sister. They love you. They're loyal to you. They want to help. We need another solution.
Like what? You have to tell me what.
They couldn't lose their babies. She couldn't take it. She'd barely lived through the loss of hers. But if it happened again to one of her sisters, especially because of her, she wouldn't survive. She just wouldn't.
We'll need eyes and ears in town. Evan isn't going to be happy unless he sends men to burn that store, to burn the Drake house, to hurt as many ways as possible. He also will use that as a diversion so that only DeVoe will come here and all the other law enforcement personnel will head into Sea Haven. Once Jackson has turned onto the entry road, they'll start trouble in town so he won't have backup. From what he's told me, they're spread pretty thin over there.
Okay, okay, she could deal with that. Maybe.
How much danger would they actually be in?
Very little. Evan isn't going to send his best men into town to wreak havoc. Those he sends will be the pawns, his expendable ones. He won't care if they make it out or not.
Maybe it would be a good idea for Lyssa to go with them as well. She's a fire element. If they're working with fire, she can do all sorts of scary things with that. At the same time, she can protect them.
The idea sounded good to her. Ariana and Judith would be safe if Lyssa was watching over them.
Blythe, come sit down with us,
Elle said.
He's going to be all right. He knows what he's doing, or he wouldn't have gotten this far. I've been undercover. No one here will blow it for him. If he worked his way up through the club to get a position of trust, then he's that good. Evan still sent a group of men from another chapter to watch over him. Because he's paranoid.
Elle patted the bench.
Fried chicken, the real deal, and we've got pie. Come on, we've got a lot to discuss.
It's going to be okay, baby. I promise. I've had a lot of time to figure this out.
Victor's voice was so reassuring, so gentle, but mostly it was strong. She remembered the way it felt to walk with him down a street. He seemed invincible. Now she knew why.
I love them all.
She did. She needed to tell him that. He had to know that these women were family. If he was with her, then they were his family as well, and that meant under his protection. That was his code.
I get you, baby. Now go have a little fun.
His voice was comforting to her. She felt for a moment as if he'd wrapped her up in his arms and just held her to him.
I'm all about fried chicken,
she said, when she wasn't. She didn't eat fried foods as a rule, but with Victor in the house, that just might change. She'd always been extremely disciplined, to the point that she didn't really know how to have fun. When he came into her life, that had changed. She'd been the one to initiate the things she'd always wanted to try, but had been afraid to. He'd been the one to show her things she'd never thought of. Together, they'd made a good pair. Elle scooted over to make room for her.
You were talking to him, weren't you?
Blythe nodded. All of them were looking at her, and she found herself blushing for no reason at all.
He was just giving me more details about what would happen and how. When we're discussing our strategy, we have to account for those as well.
That was a good way to lead into it. She wasn't leaving anyone out. They could help, and it was important to protect the townspeople and the Drake House, although it was rumored the Drake House protected itself.
Uh-oh, Lyssa said. We're about to have company.
Blythe turned her head toward the sound of the vehicles. Two trucks came up the road slowly. Her heart sank. Of course. No Drake sister would ever get away with telling a sister a lie, even a small one. Especially to Sarah, the oldest sister. She just knew things.
Quick, look like you're eating,
Elle said to Blythe. She handed her a plate of chicken and potato salad and a glass of lemonade. Blythe sighed and took the plate. Her sisters were studiously eating and trying not to laugh. If it weren't such a serious situation, she'd be laughing as well. What else was there to do? She watched as Sarah parked the truck next to Judith's RAV4. Kate and Abigail got out. Abigail was a marine biologist and married to a man named Alexander Volstov. Ilya had known Alexander in Russia. Both had worked for Interpol at one time. Sarah was married to a man working for the Defense Department, Damon Wilder, who worked with Ariana quite frequently. Kate carried the picnic basket. She and Abigail looked innocent. Sarah didn't bother to try. To Blythe's horror, Hannah and Jolie Drake got out of their sister Libby's truck. Hannah had just had a baby, and worse, she was married to Jonas Harrington, the local sheriff. Jolie was pregnant, married to Ilya Prokhensky, Victor's brother. Libby jumped out of the driver's seat and waved at them, all smiles. She was a doctor and married to a medical researcher, Tyson Derrick.
"Who's with the baby?" Al asked, waving at her sisters.
"Jonas." His exact words were, "Go find out what that jackass Jackson is up to. It's probably illegal, and he's going to get himself in trouble without me to figure out just how to get away with the crime he's about to commit." That's what he said. "So here I am. We brought tons of food, even if you didn't bother to invite us," Hannah said.
"We weren't invited either," Ariana informed her. "But we brought food, too."
"Jackson isn't a jackass," El protested. "Jonas said you'd say that, and he said to tell you right now, both of you are jackasses. Your judgment is impaired, so how would you know?"
Hannah continued with a sweet smile.
"I have to agree with him," Sarah said.
"What is going on?"
She glared at her youngest sister and then turned to Blythe.
"I didn't expect to see you here, but then I should have. It all makes sense. You're usually so level-headed, I didn't see that you could be part of one of my sister's harebrained schemes."
Elle tossed her head and gave a little sniff, completely undismayed by her older sister's assessment.
"No fried chicken for you."
"I get some," Jolie said. "At least two pieces. Hey, Blythe, good to see you. So, you weren't invited either, Ariana?"
"Nope, neither was Judith. We're both pregnant. So Blythe gave us the big boot out of the Sisterhood of Dubious Deeds."
"She was letting us back in until you came along,"
Judith added, passing out plates. Sarah, Libby, Abigail, and Lyssa carried a second picnic table over to make one long one. They spread out a tablecloth and put their picnic baskets down.
"This is the reason men want to be in motorcycle clubs," Victor said. "Women are nuts."
"Maybe nuts. But we have the food, and you're out there somewhere without any because I bet you didn't think to bring any with you."
"Only because I know you'll feed me tonight."
Blythe glared in every direction.
"Go away. You're annoying me."
Because he was absolutely right. She would feed him. She had the impression of laughter, and then he was gone out of her head. She found her cousins and sisters all staring at her, Sarah with one eyebrow up.
"So you're telepathic?"
"Not necessarily," Blythe denied, pushing her thumb into her palm under the table. "Just with him."
"With Victor Prokhensky?"
"Word travels fast."
"It's a small town," Sarah said.
"Are you certain, Blythe?" Hannah asked, "because Jonas says he's bad news."
"Jonas thinks everyone is bad news," Libby said, putting potato salad on her plate. "Even Ty, and he's so sweet."
"He thought Lev was bad news," Ricky added. "He even got in a fist fight with him, but Lev is cuddly and sweet and wonderful, and he cooks."
"There you have it, Sarah,"
Blythe said, studiously wiping her fingers on a napkin to avoid her cousin's eyes.
"Jonas doesn't know what he's talking about. You can tell him I said that, Hannah."
"You can tell us what's going on, Elle," Sarah said, still looking at Blythe. "I mean, like, right now."
Elle squirmed. She glanced at Blythe and then set down her plate.
"I can't. I'm sorry, really. It's just that it's not mine to tell."
"Victor, they know something's wrong."
"Just tell them. It's out of hand anyway. If I get shot, you can go after all of them for me."
Blythe sighed.
"Don't be all over Elle, Sarah. I asked her not to say anything. Victor's life is at stake. More,"
She pinned Hannah with her gaze.
If Jonas objects to what we're trying to do, he could put a lot of us in jail.
Including Jackson and me,
Elle said.
Sarah sighed. Maybe you'd better just tell us what's going on, and we can decide for ourselves if anyone needs to go to jail.
Blythe shook her head.
I'm not willing to put Victor's life on the line just so all of you can have your explanation. It doesn't work that way.
You can't expect us to just give our word when we don't know what you're going to say,
Sarah objected. Elle lifted her chin.
Either you trust us or you don't, Sarah. I'm in this with Blythe, all the way in it. You're with me or you're not.
We've always chosen one another,
Kate said softly.
We always will.
Blythe frowned over that. It sounded too much like the explanation her aunts had given her when she found out they'd petitioned the judge for leniency and rehab for her mother. She was asking for blind faith, and so was Elle. Blind faith wasn't always the best thing. Blythe forced air through her lungs and listened to the birds in the trees, the squirrels rustling through leaves and pine needles looking for food to store for the coming winter. Insects droned, a frog down by the river croaked. She loved that the Drake sisters were so close. She always envied them that. They had one another's back through everything, where she'd been entirely alone. Each of their mothers had what they had, the belief in one another, the knowledge that they'd always be there when needed. Still, that didn't account for one of them taking a wrong turn as her mother had. Blythe, Sarah turned to her. She moistened her lips and then told them.
Evan Shackler Grotzos is coming after Jackson and Elle.
She said it softly, afraid the birds might hear and carry the message to Evan wherever he was. For all any of them knew, he could be sitting in the hotel in Sea Haven right at that moment, surrounded by a dozen spies. She knew she'd dropped a bomb on them. Hannah actually went white and reached out to take Elle's hand.
Honey, why wouldn't you want Jonas to know? He would do anything to protect you. He already has. You know that. It wasn't on our soil, in his jurisdiction,
Elle pointed out.
This is different. It's right here on his home turf. I didn't want him touched by any of this. Jackson has no choice because he's the main target. But Jonas can stay clear of it and clean, especially if he has no knowledge of it. Jonas knows when there's trouble, Hannah said. He has gifts of his own. No way can you hide something like this from him. You and Jackson need to come over tonight and sit down with him and explain the plan. You do have a plan, don't you?
We're putting together what we can do to help the men,
Elle explained.
I take it Victor has been working undercover to try to get to Evan?
Abigail asked. Blythe nodded.
He was sent here with some others as a forward scout to get Jackson's roots and find a place to ambush him. Elle remembered Leslie, her friend from high school, talking about taking her mastiffs here. Jackson said it was perfect, and he and the others are figuring out how they're going to handle it. We need an entry where we can come in above the campgrounds without the swords knowing. That's Evan's motorcycle club. They'll be coming in a few at a time without colors. Victor sent word about this place.
You could go in on the side where the railroad tracks are,
Jolie suggested.
It's a little bit of a hike, but you'll come out on one of the roads above the campgrounds. There are all sorts of unmarked logging roads, but I can show you the entrance and the right road.
That would be great, Jolie, but there's more. Evan intends to destroy the Drake house, to burn it to the ground,
Blythe said.
He also will go after Inez's store and possibly other businesses in town. He'll have as many people hurt as possible. That will be happening simultaneously with what's going on out here. I would like you and anyone else pregnant or having children to stay in town and cope with that. Jonas can be there with some others to help you. That way, Jonas isn't doing anything against the law, and with your help, he'll be safe. So will Sea Haven.
But you and Elle will be out here,
Jolie protested.
Ilya would never allow his brothers in a fight like this one without helping them. I couldn't take it knowing you and the others were in danger, Blythe said. I really couldn't, Jolie. I can ask Victor to try to get Ilya to stay in town with all of you. You'll need a couple more people, unless Jonas can arrange for extra law enforcement to help him. But that's a risk. None of them can come out here when the call comes in that there's a problem. Only Jackson can come.
She couldn't stop any of them, but she hoped they understood and cared enough to give her that much.
You really need someone in the village? Arianna said. You're not just saying that.
Blythe shook her head.
I wish I was making it up. No, there's a real danger. I think especially to Inez. She identified the members of the Swords as the ones causing a scene, and when they were taken to jail, they all had records and outstanding warrants. The club is very angry with Inez, and Victor says she and her store will be targeted. Naturally, we want everyone as safe as possible, Elle said. With all of you working together, you should be able to control things there. I thought you might stay with them, Lyssa, Blythe ventured,
hoping her sister got her silent plea. Lyssa was lethal, and she could protect the others if there was a problem.
They'll use fire, and you can stop that.
She trailed off.
Lyssa nodded. Hannah and Arianna are the best with wind and weather. Judith can boost power to them. Inez will cooperate,
Elle said.
She acts like she's Jackson's mom half the time. She'll do anything to keep him safe.
Blythe groaned.
You can't tell Inez.
We have to, Jolie pointed out. She can't just be bait. Only her. Jonas and Jackson can figure out what to say to her, and she'll keep her mouth shut. She always does when it's needed. She loves Jackson. And the bonus, Blythe, is that Victor will be a hero in her eyes, and she'll get everyone else to view him that way.
It was true that the village of Seahaven followed Inez's lead in most things. Still, Victor was bringing in a motorcycle club to reside in Casper, which was only a few miles from Seahaven. It was all getting out of hand. She couldn't keep her man safe, no matter how hard she tried.
Blythe,
Elle put her hand over her cousin's.
The Prokenskis and the Drakes, together with you and your sisters, will stop them. Victor is going to be safe. I know.
But she didn't. She wasn't counting on the Prokenskis or the Drakes. She wasn't even counting on her sisters, and she knew what all of them could do. She was counting on Victor's brothers and sisters from his club. Reaper and Savage, Ice and Storm, Elena, Transporter, Absinthe and Mechanic. The men Victor talked about to her. The others who weren't yet in Seahaven, but would be coming with Havoc and his crew of Swords. The last nine would be riding with him, deep undercover, ready to protect Victor and follow his lead anywhere. She was counting on all of them.
When's he coming? Sarah asked. Evan, when can we expect him? How much time do we have?
Victor reported to Havoc last night. He's spreading the word to the other chapters to come to the egg-taking station via Highway 20. He'd told them to avoid Seahaven and come prepared to Camp Rough. There are only outhouses here, not that the club is going to mind that, but no showers either. Who knows, maybe they don't care about bathing,
Blythe added.
Will Evan be on a motorcycle? Can they take him out before he gets here?
Abigail asked.
Blythe shook her head. He's totally paranoid and doesn't trust anyone. No one will know ahead of time how he'll get here, but he'll have to meet with Victor to get the information he wants and formulate a plan to ambush Jackson.
She tried to close her mind to the fact that Evan had killed his bodyguards for no apparent reason.
Then we'll have to wait for the word, Sarah said.
We may as well eat, and Jolie can explain to all of us how she knows all about those unmarked roads and how to hike into them when Dad specifically told her not to ever go there.
Jolie took a bite of her chicken and looked up into the sky.
I might point out, she said when she swallowed, that everyone here is planning on coming here and I'll be in town behaving myself.
She used her most innocent, self-righteous voice. Even Blythe couldn't help but laugh.
Chapter 17.
It's going to rain tonight,
Blythe said, watching Victor spread out a thick ground blanket in the backyard. Vines grew up trellises, and the wrought iron fence she'd put in more for looks than for anything else. The backyard was actually more of a courtyard, with wings of the house coming out on either side to form a U-shape.
We won't melt,
Victor said.
In fact, we might need cooling off a little.
She couldn't help the smile. He did that, made her smile when he said absolute nonsense. He preferred being outside. He always had, even in their early days. He'd talk her into sleeping in the garden or on the front porch rather than in the house. Now she knew why.
Fortunately, it should be a light rain. I can feel the mist in the air already.
It's always misty here,
he corrected.
You're wearing too many clothes.
It's not quite dark.
It doesn't have to be dark. In fact, I prefer to see you.
He flashed a grin.
We've got everything. Your wine, my beer, cheese, honey, crackers, whipped cream, a bucket of ice. Ice cream.
That's going to melt. What in the world are you planning to do with all that?
Get naked, woman, and I'll show you.
It was a growl. He'd done that many, many times, and that particular tone always sent a frisson of desire creeping down her spine. He was already stripping, uncaring that the sun was sinking, that it was more orange-red across the sky than dark. She deliberately backed away from him. She was still fully clothed, was a good runner, fast, with long, ground-eating strides. She had good stamina. He was naked and barefoot already, and she knew he occasionally snuck a cigarette, even though he knew he shouldn't. She turned and sprinted for the house. He was on her in seconds. She'd barely made the steps leading up to the wraparound porch. She didn't hear him, but then his hands were on her, and he tossed her easily over his shoulder so that she hung upside down, staring at his very fine backside. Victor took her to the blanket and set her on her feet. She was laughing so hard she almost couldn't stand upright.
Clothes, woman, or they'll be gone.
Gone?
She tried to be serious. He looked serious, and that wasn't always a good thing. He had something in mind.
Gone,
he said firmly.
It's still daylight. Anyone could walk up.
She knew they wouldn't. She had 5 acres to herself, with her house in the center of the acreage, but she wanted to tease him a little more. She liked playing, and Victor was always willing to play with her. One moment she was standing in her blouse, and the next he caught the front of it and jerked, splitting the material in two. He dropped the pieces on the ground and caught at her skirt.
Not the skirt. I love this skirt,
she protested hastily. Her hands dropped to cover his.
I really, really love this skirt.
He yanked it down, and she let it fall, kicking it aside. Her bra was gone the same way her shirt had, along with the scrap of lace she called panties.
You're so crazy.
About you.
He pulled her into his arms.
I love the way you feel, all that soft skin, Blythe.
You just like me naked.
No, baby, I love you naked.
He tipped her face up so he could take her mouth. Her breath caught in her lungs. When he kissed her, the world receded until there was only the two of them. The wind touched her body, cooling her skin when inside her temperature soared. She wrapped her arms around his neck, pressing her breasts into him, fitting her naked mound tight against him so that he could feel every inch of her. He reached down and caught her leg behind her knee, lifting it to wrap it around his waist, opening her up to him. It felt decadent, sexy, perfect. He kissed her over and over. These weren't his gentle, beautiful kisses that brought tears to her eyes. His mouth was aggressive, demanding, his tongue dueling